Hey loves, like you, I desire an abundant life and its lifestyle, and to continue to show up as my best version of self, where we win in life to reclaim, rediscover, redesign an authentic and genuine self. And yes, this is intimacy on a whole new level. Welcome. Join us at claritywithsue.com. Again, that's claritywithsue.com. Welcome to the good life. Good morning, Pacific Northwest. This is Sue. Good morning, Benny.
Hi, hi. How are you? I'm doing good.
I'm good. Where'd you go? There you are, darling.
I got a lot of buttons to push. You know, I got a lot of buttons to push. You know,
You are Superman. Hey, the Sasquatch. Bring the Sasquatch.
No, yeah, it's like he's the hide and seek champion. See? He's a hide and seek. Do you get it?
Oh, brilliant.
Do you get it?
Okay. Yes, the hide and seek champ.
Still the champ.
That's brilliant, though.
Still the champ.
I know. There's so many stories out there about Sasquatch. I know. I've been hearing it. I'm sure your boys. Do you tease your boys about it now? Oh, is it a Sasquatch?
Not so much, but I was kind of like, every once in a while you see something like, oh, did you hear that? Maybe it's him. And they're like, Dad, really? They're going to be
hiding with the Easter bunny. I think.
They're going to be 13 in January. They're just at that right
Benny,
level.
That is crazy.
I know, right? I know.
Stop. We've been doing this for over 15 years together.
Forever.
It's got to be because, that's crazy. I remember when y'all were pregnant. Wow. Well, congratulations, sweetheart.
Thank you.
Well, not you were pregnant, but come on. It's a team effort. You know where I was going.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Now for more embarrassing things.
Come on, we're all adults. All right. I love you, darling. Thank you so much. All right, we've got a great packed show today. I mean, come on, like we do every day. We're going to talk to a gentleman, Nicholas Moore, and we're going to talk vulnerability. We're going to talk forgiveness. We're going to talk overcoming fears, forgiveness. Not overcoming forgiveness, but also diving into the conversation of forgiveness and finding the power within ourselves, so we then can bounce back. We then can have a life that we truly desire, that's authentic and genuine to ourselves from the inside out. And that is through adversity, through trials. And I'm really excited to bring Nicholas on. And you guys have heard me talk about this before, because I've been doing this, and I talked to Nicholas this morning before we came live. You know, I've been doing this for almost 20 years. And back then we didn't have a lot of men standing in the ring talking about vulnerability. And it's one of my passions to bring more men on so they can stand in that stage and stand in that ring, like Brené Brown says, and really show up for other men and the women or the other men that love them, right? Whatever that partnership looks like for you, and to be able to have that partnership and to thrive in said partnership. So bear with me, you guys. I'm in a condominium and they've decided to do all of the leaf blowing as we speak on live radio. So I might have to mute for a minute. So before I do that, let me introduce an amazing guest, Nicholas Moore. Nick's extraordinary journey has led him to become an expert and leader in the areas of vulnerability, self-love. Hang on. I'm going to have to mute. Benny, hang on.
It's really not that bad. You can't really hear that bad. It's fine.
Okay, he's literally on my back patio. I did not know this was going to happen.
It's all good.
Okay, if it's not bad, I'm going to keep going. Let me go back to Nick. All right. Nick's extraordinary journey has led him to become an expert leader in the areas of vulnerability, self-love, and compassion, along with sharing pieces of his incredible vulnerable story. Nick shares his insights in overcoming the inner critic. Oh, I know about that inner critic. The inner critic, the drunk monkey, the bad roommate. We're going to get into that conversation. And letting go of the opinions of others. Hello. Love that conversation. And how to gracefully ride the ever-changing waves of life. Now, there's something poetic with Nicholas and his language and the way he speaks. So I'm just going to bring him on, and we're going to have this delicate, vulnerable, yet powerful conversation. So Nicholas, welcome, love.
Hi. Hey, Sue. Thank you
Congratulations
so
on
much
your
for having
baby.
me. Thank you so much. It's been a long time coming, and
Yeah.
I'm
Okay,
very
so of
happy to
course,
be
thank you. Me too. I'm absolutely so thankful and feel very blessed to have this conversation with you. Of course, like I alluded to, I did the formal bio, but we want to get to know you. Let's have that conversation. Let's and your why too. I know at the beginning of your book, you talk about where this kind of all began with that dialogue with your father, and how that it wasn't even dialogue, it was how you were brought up. And I think it's important because there's a lot of men and there's some women that have been brought up in that type of environment. So to start off and to hear that from your voice, and then of course I want to hear that poem in the beginning of the book. So please go ahead, love.
Sure. Yeah, I think I'd actually love to start off with that poem if you're open to that. So here we go. Lay down your armor and pick up your heart. Your dreams are waiting as you painfully fall apart. And when the last piece falls and your heart is wide open, you'll understand it all and give thanks for being broken. So thank y'all for listening. Yeah, and that's what life is a lot about, being broken over and over and over again. And something that I am very passionate about is just because you find yourself or you wake up or you think you've kind of figured things out, doesn't mean that life's ever going to stop. The waves are always going to continue. It's not like you ever just hit this, all right, I figured it out, now it's just smooth sailing from here on out. That's just not the way it works.
Evolution.
Yeah, and Sue and I appreciate, you taking the time to read some of my story. And the way that vulnerability really came into my life was really when I was able to confront the worst thing that I've ever done in my life. And it was through a family story, as my reality really broke down later in my life, I really had to look at everything and really start asking myself, who am I? That's the title of my book. And my book is a lot about self-reflection and as honest as I could possibly be, because I knew that the only way that I would truly be able to connect with others on a deeper level is to show the things that most people don't want anyone to see and to talk about things that people don't want to talk about. My first Now, when I lose my virginity, that's in chapter four. It's a heartbreaking story. It's something that I held a lot of shame and guilt around for many, many years to come. And once I was actually able to, the first time that I posted that on social media, I got a lot of backlash. Like people didn't really know what I was talking about, but I knew that I'm not alone. And that's truly what vulnerability does, is it creates these conversations. Being human is an incredibly confusing, difficult experience. We're raised in these households, from 0 to 17 or 18 or whenever you moved out, and all this stuff is just piled on top of us, and this is the reality that we know. And I grew up in a very patriarchal household where violence was actually encouraged. And women were not respected in my household. And it's not that I ever felt like I was a bad guy, but I did not treat my girlfriends very well. And again, that story, when I lost my virginity and my girlfriend lost virginity, it was something that I held so much guilt and shame for so long. And ultimately, that led me to some very dark truth within my family. And that really let me make sense of it all, because all of these really embarrassing, terrible, really messed up things that I've done in my life, I see them as blessings. Because me being able to share my story, I've already heard from countless, so many people about how much it helped them with their own vulnerability and their own self-forgiveness. And Sue, I'm a big believer that if we don't, let's say something happened when you were 16 that you feel really bad about, that you are never going to tell anyone. You know, there are many things in my book that no one would ever know. Like, these are literally things that no one could possibly know unless I were actually right about them. But I'm a big believer that if we don't confront those things and if we don't actually talk about them, we're not going to be able to grow. And those patterns will repeat, whether it be in this lifetime or the next, it's going to come back. And the only way that we can truly heal is if we talk about it, look at it, and it's uncomfortable. But Sue, my life is living proof that you can tell people your innermost, darkest secrets, the things that you think people will hate you, think you will, they will judge you, think you're a pervert, think you're just a terrible person. And the reality of it is the more we can actually show that and be real about it, the more people can connect and be like, oh my God, like I had something similar to that. I feel, man, it just makes me feel a lot more comfortable knowing that you were able to put it out there. So that's where the basis of my story starts. There's a lot more to it than that. And again, the family story is really what rocks my world when I'm in my 30s. My whole life blows up and I feel like my whole life's a lie and I start searching for answers. And that's where everything started.
Thank you, sweetheart. Thank you, Nick. Do you want me to call you Nicholas or Nick?
I go by Nick. Thank you, sir.
Okay, you bet. Do you want to start off talking about the culture that you were raised in so people can see the contrast and what that looks like, how you define that, and then sure. How you've walked through that? Because there's a lot of mirroring going on and people are going to be like, oh, I resonate with that. Okay.
Sure.
So I think it's important so people understand a little bit of the culture and the backstory and where it all started.
Sure. So I was born in South Louisiana, in Baton Rouge. In the South in general, as many of you know, there's a lot of racism. That was something that I was brought up learning from an early age. And violence, you know, my dad, the way that he learned is that violence is the way that you protect yourself. And he wanted to make sure that his sons were protected if he was never around. So not only was violence, you know, a good thing, it was encouraged that, hey, this is something important in life. The outlet that I had that really helped me through life was football. And I'm not encouraging all of the moms and dads that your kids should play football. I don't, you know. When I have kids one day, I'm not going to say that they can't do anything, but I will let them know, hey, my spine is pretty messed up. Running into 300 pounds guys with your head isn't the best thing for your spine. Who would have known? But that culture, that was my way to release a lot of the anger. I saw my dad treating my mom not very well throughout my life. But that became a normalcy. You know, dad's in charge. He's the one that makes money. Don't get in trouble. I was the youngest of three, so I was incredibly lucky to kind of fly under the radar. My brother was the oldest, sister in the middle, and I learned what not to do by watching them. But the things that we absorb as we're young children, it's beyond our understanding. Because I grew up, yes, you know, understanding that violence is good and that I need to be able to protect myself. I need to learn how to fight, but also grew up learning that women are not on the same level as men and that, hey, I'm the one that's going to be taking care of the family. I'm going to make the money. And, you know, a lot, she just needs to do what I tell her to do and she's going to listen to me. And of course, you know, like I thought that that was how just things worked. And I thought, yeah, a woman could be happy with that and she would love that and I'm going to be the protector and all those things. And don't get me wrong, there are masculine qualities that are very important. You know, I believe that we all have the divine masculine and the divine feminine in perfect balance in our divinest form. It's not that we're
air quotes divinest. Yeah, right. For radio world.
The more I've embraced my feminine side, the more of my creativity has really shown. Creativity wasn't encouraged in my household, but violence and football was. And
And yet you created a life, a book, and you created so much self-love and so much self-care and an example for so many people because of the way you were raised, because of the contrast, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, I didn't fully understand how jaded or messed up my childhood was until something happened when I was in my 30s that I witnessed something. And then a lot of things throughout my life, I had to look back on, reflect on, and be like, oh my God, all of this makes sense. And my entire life felt like a lie. I was upset with God. I was more depressed than I'd ever been in my life.
And, Nicholas, can we pin that for just a minute? Sure. I don't want to interrupt your train of thought, but I think it's important that, and I advocate for the audience, right? That when you're in the schmuck of it, when you mm-hmm. have that realization and you're like, oh, shiitake. Life as I know it is no longer. Mm-hmm. Everything that I thought was the right mindset was the correct way to live, air quotes, radio world. Now, what do I do? Mm-hmm. If there are so many people in that scenario right now, especially after everything that's gone on with the vid and life, I mean, life in general, but still, mm-hmm. you add more salt to the wound and it just kind of gets deeper and stickier, right?
Right. And the way that you can really unravel that is once you realize that, okay, these ways that I've been thinking my whole life, maybe they're not quite the right way to look at things.
Yeah.
And that's and one of the
that
reasons
that shame
why,
and that guilt that you're talking about. Oh.
Yeah. You were hitting on the self-love and you can't have true self-love if you don't have the self-forgiveness first, because we've all done terrible things. We've all hurt people. When we get love and especially sex mixed in this human weird experience,
yep.
it gets really confusing. And yep. part of being human is we do hurt other people. There's self-reflection questions at the end of each one of the chapters that I've written. Mm. And the reason why I have those is for the reader to look back at their own life, and you'll read a vulnerable story that I tell. And then I'll ask you to reflect on, hey, how does this, did this relate to your life in any way? And it, a lot of the questions are tough to really think about, but if we really want to have a better relationship with every single person in our life, it starts with the relationship with ourselves. The more forgiveness that we have for ourselves, the more forgiveness we're going to have for other people, the more compassion, the more self-love, it all starts with the person in the mirror. And it's uncomfortable at first. It doesn't feel real when you, when
because your nervous system is going, yeah. no, we like it in the safe place. that stuff before, now you're changing it all up. This doesn't mm-hmm. feel right. It shouldn't. Right. Mm-hmm. So I think having having the conversation to the audience and people that are listening, is it important to you to show up in your best self? And if you're not quite sure what that looks like and defining it, it's simple as getting clear. And of course, picking up your beautiful book and getting clear and reading the stories of vulnerability. And then also reflecting, having that self-reflection with the questions in the book as well. And I think that's a powerful tool. Again, going to those sticky moments. When you're in the shiitake of it, that sticky moment, and you're reading and you're self-reflecting and you're riddled with guilt and anxiety. Are there methods that you use that help you, breath that you use to help overcome that and keep going on that journey?
So there are little things that I believe are very, very important that you can just do throughout the day. Now, when you do get to a situation, maybe you're reading my book and you get to a very, very heavy chapter. Yes, take some time to yourself, set down the book and just focus on your breathing. Our nervous systems can flare up, and it's a lot of times it can be a defense mechanism that we're just trying to protect ourselves to not think about these very difficult subjects. But the small things that make a big difference, and this is gonna sound difficult because a lot of times you have to fake it till you make it. So every single time that I see myself in the mirror, whether it be a reflection in the car window, I'm constantly reminding myself, you're doing great. I love you. I'm not saying it out loud all the time, but literally the amount of thank yous, I love yous, you're doing great, that I say in one day is probably at least over 100 for each of them. People are literally blown away when they read some of the stories in my book. They're like, oh my God, I cannot believe you just said that. I cannot believe that you are telling the world these things, you know, things that you would never want anyone to know. But Sue, we are all human. We all have weird thoughts. We all do weird things. And the beauty of it is that we're not alone. But the only way that we can really understand that we're not alone is if we actually start talking about these things.
And shining a light on the darkness, right?
Yeah. And you can't have the courage to do it unless you have this really, really strong voice in your head that's telling you that you're doing great. It's all going to be okay. People are going to love you. You love you. Like, I mean, there's over 1,000 videos of me online on my social medias going to press record and telling myself how beautiful I am, how much I love myself, how awesome I am.
I just had that vision of that gal on the sink, you know, in the bathroom going, I love you. You're one of Benny's got the audio of that. I just absolutely love that. Love it, love it, love it.
Yeah, I did not miss one day for 2.5 years straight before I came to Hawaii. I literally did it in the hospital bed for 9 days in a row. I had a 17.3-pound NBA basketball-sized benign tumor removed from my liver almost 5 years ago. And that was all the family stress that came out of my life. It came out in a physical way.
Wow.
And the way that I went through, and every day I had a little mirror in the hospital bed, you know, recording it. But I cannot stress enough.
Wait, Nicholas, yeah. Talk to me about that moment, sweetheart, because I think that's the epitome of vulnerability right there. I mean, I think of my stories too, and or my past stories, whatever, the hurdles. And I remember changing my language and also looking in the mirror and professing love to myself or writing love. Mm. I couldn't even spell abundance. I'm like, Sue, what's the, I had such a psychological block, right? I mean, in here, I'm writing, I'm like, I don't smell. Yeah. So it's, and I have this conversation with you too, and provide the audience with, we're all walking the journey. We're all walking the path. I absolutely walk my talk, very vulnerable, very open. Obviously there's some things I don't share online because of family and stuff like that. And that's out of respect for their privacy. Being honest with ourselves and that vulnerability, and I call it crossing the bridge of initiation, crossing that bridge of fear, crossing that bridge of whatever that adjective is to describe, you're crossing the bridge and taking that leap of faith, what you talked about, and knowing somewhere, somehow you're going to make it. It's going to happen. It's that massive leap of faith, right? Talk to me about the first few times that you were looking in that mirror, what that felt like.
It's, so I said, fake it till you make it earlier. And that's literally what it feels like. Cause it can feel very, very uncomfortable. You know, I have a good friend of mine, when I first started doing these videos, and he's reached out to me, and you know, we sit down and talk, and he said that he's a good looking guy. He's in shape. And he said that he'll have a piece of chocolate cake the night before and he won't even be able to look at himself in the mirror, you know, and he'll just have so much anger towards himself for eating a piece of chocolate cake. What I would love the listeners and my readers to really buy into is what you're saying to yourself in the head and what you're saying to yourself in the mirror are way, I mean, exponentially more powerful than that chocolate cake. The chocolate cake is, you're going to poop it out tomorrow. It's going to do nothing.
It's going to make a turd.
But those words that you're saying to yourself we don't fully grasp how much that voice in our head impacts our daily conversations.
Oh my gosh, totally.
The people in my life, you know, I just had a birthday party this past weekend, and I was so, it was the best birthday I've ever had in my life. It was, I was celebrating my book publication, and I was surrounded by so much love. And even from afar, the online love that I've received, it is mind-blowing that I've literally told people things. And when you won't really grasp it until you read the book, but that you honestly would think that people will hate you for,
yes,
that people will shame you, that you just think that no one will ever understand me because this was just so weird. And man, it's just the simple fact that we all have these things. And the more we can start with that fake it till you make it, that self-talk, that, and again, it doesn't always have to be in the mirror. I try to remember every time you see your reflection, just try to say something positive.
Yes.
You're doing great. The you're doing great part, we all need to hear that. You
yes.
know, it feels great when it's coming from somewhere else, but the person that needs to hear it the most, coming from the most, is from yourself. So that reassurance that, hey, you're doing great. I love you, Nick. Keep rocking, keep shining. I have so much love to give to the people around me that I just attract so much love, and people feel it. But it's all been starting with myself. You know, the mirror has been a daily practice of mine for going on, you know, 5 years or so now. So
I love that. So practicing the new self, the new divine self, and we're going to take a quick commercial, but I'm going to tease everybody just a little bit here. Walking in that vulnerability and having that realization that you are changing, and there is, and I'm going to speak from my experience, when you start changing, people go away, whether they're takers or givers or whatever, or, you know,
some people aren't going to understand and some people it's just not for,
you know? No, it's not. Many people in my life have gone away, whatever, you know, bless you, love you, see you later if I do. But I would like to have that conversation. We're going to continue. We're going to take a quick commercial break, but I want to have that conversation when we come back on live radio.
It's an important conversation.
Oh, it is. And also knowing that it's not your fault that they're leaving. Because I know, because a recovering people pleaser and a natural lover and nurturer, I love everybody. And then all of a sudden, I became the victim. I was in the victim role. Why are they leaving me? You know, there was that whole conversation. And of course, it was a blessing in disguise, right? So when we come back, we're going to have that conversation, but we're going to noodle a little bit more on YouTube. So if you'd like to join us and see us live chit-chatting, please come over there and do that. All you got to go do, all you have to do is go to YouTube and type in 1150. We will be right back, you guys. Hi guys, Sue here with Clarity with Sue, claritywithsue.com. That is 15 years in radio, high integrity, solid reputation. I am looking for conscious collaborations, sponsorships, alignment and messaging. This could be mind, body, spirit, organics, and fitness. Let's talk about a conscious collaboration together and aligning our mission, our messaging, and products and services. Email sue@claritywithsue.com. That's sue@claritywithsue.com.
Have something important to say? Want to help improve our world? Need to promote your business uniquely and effectively? KKNW is the answer. Our staff helps broadcasters and podcasters create professional-sounding audio. Bring your talent and let our experts help you craft a radio show or podcast that best delivers your message. Learn more at 1150kknw.com. That's 1150kknw.com. KKNW, talk variety that's live and local.
Colorectal cancer doesn't stop for COVID-19. Hello, I'm Dr. Cecilia Brewington. If you are age 45 or older, it's time to return to care and get tested. The government requires insurance companies to cover not only colonoscopy, but a range of tests, including virtual colonoscopy and other less invasive exams. Talk to your doctor about your options today. For more information on virtual colonoscopy, visit radiologyinfo.org.
Hey guys, Sue here with Clarity with Sue. I have got a question for you. Does turnover happen in your company? Is morale really low because of what's happening in our economy and in the world? Are you experiencing small T traumas within your organization that's affecting your bottom line, that's affecting massive turnover? Well, what we do know that low morale causes employees to have a loss of interest. It's like 65% of employees do not feel appreciated. So how about this? How about a solution? In 90 minutes, go from checked out to tapped in. Set your team apart from others and create a culture to be proud of. Help your team find that purpose again. That's what I do. I'm going to help you do that. In 90 minutes, go from checked out to tapped in. Send me an email, sue@claritywithsue.com. That's sue@claritywithsue.com.
There's a reason they invented the internet. It's called 1150kknw.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Nicholas, Nick Moore, thank you so much. If you guys are just joining us, yes, stinkers, you got to go back to the top of the hour. Make sure that you go to my website, claritywithsue.com. You can find the whole show there on iTunes after the live show, obviously here. iTunes, SoundCloud, all the podcast worlds. And then, of course, on YouTube, if you'd like to see us and hear us noodling there, you're welcome to do that. You can do it with Clarity Sue, or you can do it on 1150 AM if you are in the radio world right now joining us live. I know there's Mexico and Canada and the UK, quite a few people all across the world that are enjoying our show. So thank you very much for joining us. Remember, you can just see us on YouTube at 1150 as well. To the Pacific Northwest, hello, everybody. Good morning.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. Okay, Nicholas, do you remember? So I started noodling about all different kinds of conversations, didn't I? And then I wanted to talk about the conversation that you know, you're changing. You're making changes, and there's going to be people leaving your life, and not feeling that it's your fault, and taking responsibility versus victimhood. Again, I know at the top of the hour we talked about forgiveness, but forgiveness is a huge umbrella, right? You have to have that self-awareness, and you have to be clear in order, you know, you have to have that self-reflection, similar to what's at the end of each chapter in your book, having that self-reflection and providing awareness tools so you can look under the proverbial hood, right? So talk to me about that conversation when you're going through those changes and there are people there in your life that don't understand, and that's okay. It's not your fault.
It was something that really showed itself in my life was when I started doing the self-love videos on my social medias. You know, I grew up this super jock, you know, super masculine. And now out of nowhere, Nick is in the mirror and talking like a girl and telling himself how beautiful he is and that he loves himself. Like, what happened to Nick? Like, what is going on? And, you know, when we talk about the mirror forgiveness and the mirror self-talk, something I am so passionate about is having fun with yourself in the mirror and being goofy with yourself. The more serious you are with the person in the mirror, the more serious you're going to be in your daily life. And that's not typically the most fun energy to be around. The more laid back and the more easy you can take yourself, the more you're going to be able to give that to others. And it's truly what we all want. You know, there's a lot of inner children out there that have just been covered up and piled on and just know you need to be an adult. You need to be serious. You can't make faces in the mirror and have fun.
That kind of parlays into the opinions of others.
That's
talk about. Yeah.
And people aren't going to understand you all the time. I've definitely have, you know, one of my college roommates. I haven't talked to him in years, and I'll reach out to him every once in a while. And I really hope that reading my book, eventually, you know, maybe he will, maybe he won't, but then he can see the full picture. Because I'm very much believe in finding someone, you know, not everyone needs to write a book about all the terrible things they've done. But if you want to heal from things in your past, find someone that you trust, find someone that you don't think is going to judge you, and say, hey, this is something happened when I was 15 years old, and I haven't talked to anybody about it. I just need someone to talk to, and I just would love to share this with you. And then share your open, vulnerable story. Now, if they come back with any sort of judgment or guilt, that's not yours. That is theirs.
And you
Whatever
talked
they
about
haven't.
permission, right? You talked about
Yes.
permission. Yeah, that's really important. Hey, can I have this conversation with you, right? Can I? Yeah, that's important.
Yes, you don't just throw up on someone and tell them all these terrible things.
No.
Consent is a very
Consent,
important
permission. Yeah,
aspect.
that was the word that you used.
Most people only, you know, equate consent to in the bedroom. Consent goes so much further than that. Someone holding space for a heavy conversation or just telling, you know, whatever it may be, I think, you know, asking permission if you're going to start a conversation that can be heavy is very, very important.
What's coming to mind, Nick, and thank you. I am just going to blurt it out. There's been many conversations with men and women, men more specifically, I think, for me, they get very uncomfortable. They've actually, friends of mine have actually said this. It's very uncomfortable sometimes, Sue, because you are so engaged. You're looking me in the eyes and you're truly listening to me. And I'm like, wait a minute. Is that a bad thing? But they don't know how to take it. Can we have that conversation? Because it's, I'm like, at first it kind of stung. I'm like, you little shiitake, wait a minute. I love you. I'm engaged and I'm have eye contact with you because it's important. I'm holding that space, you know, and it can be very intimidating and scary, you know.
Sadly, it's not as prevalent as, you know, I would hope. It starts with the person in the mirror. Everything does. Every relationship that you have in your life is going to reflect some part of your relationship with yourself. So the more comfortable you are with staring yourself in the eyes, I mean, I've practiced this a lot. Like even when you're like struggling, just go in there and really just staring at yourself and knowing that, hey, you're doing your best.
Mel Robbins talks about that, the high five, right? Give yourself a high five. Yeah.
I give myself high fives. I give myself hugs. I give
Hugs.
kisses, like,
Yes, yes,
you
yes,
know,
and
doing it
yes.
all.
I love it.
And
And that's
it.
also having that awareness practice. I'm going to put a pin in that for the audience because that is another practice that you're talking about in your book. You know, having that self-love and that awareness. I mean, there's I do again, and not taking yourself personally or taking, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Taking yourself so seriously. Me, I don't at all. You know, and I even when I'm driving, I look specifically for signs that have an L or and I say I love you or a W, you're Wonder Woman, or have a wonderful life or Wonder Man, you know. And there's the men's restroom or the women's restroom. It could be a W, you know, really get playful and show that energy within yourself. And it could be you could do it outwardly. I do that many times and people are looking at me and I'm like, yeah.
Sue, I can't tell you how much that just warms my heart because all these little tiny life hacks, they add up. And I was saying it earlier that the amount of thank yous, I love yous, you're doing great, you're the man that I'm saying on a daily basis are, I mean, they are very high numbers and it's going to feel fake at first. So don't think that, all right, I listened to Sue and Nick talk on the radio show and they're just telling me that I need to tell myself I love myself, and then all my life's
No.
just gonna be easier.
Doesn't work
It does not work that way at
that
all. But when times do get rough, which that's a certainty about life, is that you will go through rough times. if you're doing it when things are good, if you're giving yourself that self-love, that those affirmations, if you're doing it while things are good, it makes it much easier to remember when things aren't going so well, because you're going to do things that, oh, dang it, I shouldn't have done that. Or, man, I can't believe I did that.
And it's the energy that you're putting off too. I cannot talk about that over and over and over. I mean, seriously, if you can tell when people are moping around and pissy and they're in their trauma spin out, you can feel it. You can sense it. You can see it. And I don't want that. I don't want that sticking to me. I kind of equate it to those Velcro balls, you know, those people, you know, you see the big people jumping on the mats, but it's like having all these Velcro thing. And I'm like, no, I don't want that. If it's love, it's a big Velcro love bug. Yes, I want that. Right. Mm-hmm. But you can see it. You can see it. So again, getting clear on how you want to show up, how you want to behave for yourself, how you want to have self-love and provide that for yourself. And sorry, somebody's walking up to
you. You're great. And Sue, something I also want to touch on is the more in touch you are with your happiness and joy and love, you're also more connected to the heavier emotions, like the sad, the grief, the anger. So giving yourself deeper access to all the wide range of emotions, because something I also want to hit on is, you know, we aren't talking about spiritual bypassing that, you know, it's just all love. It's all perfect. Now, having those reminders that when things are going bad, that, hey, something good is going to come from this. Something, it's so difficult to see. I shared, you know, the poem that I recited at the beginning of this the other day to a woman at market, and she had just lost her 32-year-old son. And she was like, tell me how that, you know, she wanted to know, how am I going to understand that? How am I going to be grateful for that heartbreak? And, you know, I didn't want to just give her, you know, that's not what anybody's looking for when they're asking something like that. They just want some compassion and to be there with them. And when you're more in touch with your own emotions, you can sense those things and you're going to be able to hold better space for those people. But at some point in this woman's life, she's going to be able to relate to someone else that's going through something incredibly difficult as well. Like maybe 10 years from now, she meets a woman who just lost her daughter or just lost their son, and she's going to be able to consult them and hold that space. And we're all walking each other home.
You know, we're all, it's beautiful, walking each other home. I love that. And it is so important to have that conversation about holding space. It's not about answering questions. It's not about giving your opinion. It's simply listening and engaging. And if given permission, letting them cry and holding them. If it's okay to touch their hand, whatever it is, and have that conversation. Can I hold you? Do you want me to hold you? Would that feel comfortable? Again, it's consent and conversation, right? Because some people don't. I've experienced clients of my own. They're like, no, I don't want to be touched. I don't. Yeah. So really having that clarity, communication, right?
Definitely.
Oh, there was a question. I forget the question I was going to ask, but regardless of that, can you talk to me about how psychedelics and that realm of medicine has helped? Because that's the big buzzword. Everybody's talking about that now. And I know that marijuana and shrooms and all that, it's legal in many states now and has provided so much relief for many people, and they take it as a medical supplement because of their anxiety, and it helps them to create new neural pathways. And I say that specifically because then you have a new experience that you can take in your outward life. Then now you have a new one in your inner life, and that helps to build that self-trust and self-love. Go ahead, Nick.
Sure, and I appreciate you asking that question, Sue. Psychedelics, there are so many beautiful benefits, but they can also be abused just like anything else. They can be used in the wrong ways. And, you know, I don't want to say that there is a right or wrong way. I've used psychedelics as partying substances as well. So I don't want to put any sort of shame or guilt around any sort of experience on what you're wanting to use these medicines for.
Right.
But if you're wanting to use them as a true medicine, something that I do not agree with in regards to Teal Swan, you know, Teal Swan's saying that, hey, if you're suicidal, just go do it, you know, and, you know, if you really don't want to be here anymore, then, you know, then just go do it. Well, when I was at my lowest point, I was more suicidal than I'd ever been in my life. I did a mushroom trip and I started seeing closed-eyed visuals for the first time. And that was the first time I started asking myself, who am I? Which is the title of my book. And that night, I felt like I was in a fight with God. I could not wrap my head around how a good God could allow such terrible things to exist. I felt like I had tried to do good throughout my life. I was trying to right the wrong that happened when I was young. And now I'm just getting kicked in the groin and just like, why would a good God do this?
And that's the victim mentality, right?
Right. And at the end of, but at the end of that night, I'm looking in the mirror and I'm more suicidal than I'd ever been. Oof. So I'm teaching high school geometry at this point. I was a high school football and baseball coach as well. And my friend had told me about this substance called DMT. It's the active ingredient in ayahuasca. Ayahuasca is a 3 to 4 hour experience, but if you freebase it and you smoke it, it is a 10 to 15 minute experience. And when I first learned about it, they told me that, okay, they believe that this is the molecule that releases when you die. My scientific mind was like, first of all, there's no way you can know that. And then second of all, no thanks. Like I had no desire at that. But fast forward in life, now I'm super depressed. I am suicidal. I'm like, I will try anything. I'm pissed off at God. I want answers.
Yeah.
And the biggest thing that I received from that first experience was that my dad has to be him for me to be me. The light comes from the dark. There is a very, very, I'm not going to get into any details on this call, but there's a very, very heavy family story in my book. And it made my entire life feel like a lie. You know, I felt like, why would such terrible things exist in the world? And they're all here for a reason. You know,
all for a reason.
I wouldn't be able to share my story and heal as many people as I've already, you know, so many people have reached out to me and told me how much my impact my book has made on them. But I wouldn't have this story. I wouldn't have this if my dad wouldn't be this, you know, tyrant or whatever.
And whatever adjective you want to
describe. Right. And my dad has a lot of great qualities as well, but not everyone is 100% bad or good. You know, we're all human. We all do messed up things, but there's a purpose behind it all. We're living, we're growing, we're evolving as a species. But the only way that we can truly grow from these things in society, because I promise you, my dad's not the only one. There's these things happening
all over. Yep.
But the only way that we can really start to grow and heal is if we actually talk about them and be real about them. So
talk to me about, I know you've alluded about who I am, the title of the book. And we've got about 7 more minutes and I want to talk about how you got to that title, why you chose that. And it may seem kind of trivial, but I think it's very important. I think because who I am is a very deep, honest question that everybody's got to ask.
Definitely. And I'm so glad you asked that, Sue. When I first created the title, I had no intention of actually answering the question. My main point, and it does come to answer at the end. I was kind of given the answer at the end. I don't want to ruin the end for you, but it ends exactly.
Sorry, dude, I'm sure it came.
But what I was really trying to prove is that we are not defined by our past. That is the biggest point that, and we will be defined by our past unless we can actually look at it and reflect on it. If we try to hide things from our past, that past will continue to define us. But me asking myself, who am I, is me reflecting back on all these things throughout my life that I had shame about, that I felt guilty about, that I was embarrassed about, that, oh my God, nobody would understand that. And really looking back, like, yes, these things happen. You know, these are, if I try to act like they didn't, it's just going to hurt me. And if I'm hurting myself, I'm hurting every relationship in my life. Yep. So
I think that right there is really important, because people don't have that reflection, right?
Yep. We just don't see it. We think that I can treat other people well, but yeah, I might have this like negative self-talk in my head. We don't really truly see how much that personal relationship that we have with ourselves reflects on every single relationship.
It all starts here. It all starts with you, within yourself. Who
and
am
telling
I?
Yourself you're doing great. You just put it out there, and I promise.
High five, you, Nick. You're doing great, thanks, baby. Yeah. Thanks.
Whatever it is that you have shame or guilt about, find someone that you trust and ask them, hey, let's go to lunch and let's talk about this. If they meet you with any sort of shame or guilt, that is not yours. That's theirs.
Yep.
So just know that, hey, I'm gonna talk about it and just see what I'm met with. And more than likely, Sue, when you do that, the person you're sitting across from is gonna, their armor is gonna be let down. They're gonna feel so much more comfortable with you.
Yes.
They're gonna be able to talk to you, be like, oh my God, I can tell somebody about this because I feel like
safe.
Oh my God, you went through something.
Yeah.
Yeah, you feel safe. I feel held.
Yes.
But those conversations can't happen unless one of the people has the courage to start that conversation and really look at something that is maybe really ugly.
And you know, I think I love what you just said. Having that conversation and being that example and standing in the rink for the other person.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much going on energetically in conversation too, because you are providing a safe place for them, but you're also creating a new neural pathway in them and yourself, and a self-love and self-trust. I cannot tell you how many, this is what I'm remembering what I wanted to put a pin in. How much self-love and compassion and being able to hold that space where I was going with confidence within myself. And I was building neural pathways of self-love, self-respect that took the, you know, it used to be shame and guilt, massive shame and guilt. And now it was self-love, because I am creating an external environment that reflects the self-love within myself. So I'm creating new neural pathways, new energies, new, it's just, it's a beautiful dance,
head,
isn't it?
It all starts with your voice in your head.
Oh.
And it, again, fake it till you make it. That is one of the keys to training that voice, is just try to continually remind yourself you're doing great, you're doing awesome, I love you, thank you.
You know what I used to do, that, and I learned this years ago, I'm dating myself, in choir, like I sing. I don't sing, audience, don't ask me to sing. But what they do is, to hear your voice, you cup the back of your ear. And you say, I love you. So try it when your headphones are off, and you'll be able to, you'll hear it. And you can say, I love you. You're doing great. It will all work out. Take a deep breath. And that's a lot of times that I do that. How do people get, we're running out of time, so I can keep talking to you. How can people get a hold of you? How can people get a hold of your beautiful book?
Sure.
Your first baby.
So here it is.
There it
Who
is.
Am I? Vulnerability equals power ability.
I'm actually doing an overlay too, so I got you covered there, Nick.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
And if you would like to read the first chapter for free, you can visit www.vulnerabilitybook.com. Again, that's vulnerabilitybook.com. There's a free first chapter. And if you enjoy that free first chapter, you can click on the link and buy the book through Amazon. Or if you just think, hey, I really liked listening to that guy and I think he might have something to offer, just go straight to Amazon and purchase the book there. Something that many of you will be excited about is that within hopefully 3 weeks, the audiobook will be available.
Yes.
It's in my voice.
Yes.
And I know that many of people that listen to me speak love to hear me talk. And I'm excited to share with the world my story in my own voice. And there are some poems that are riddled throughout it as well. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Congratulations. I
Thank say
you so that
much,
so Sue. Much from the heart. I really do. Keep shining, babe. Keep at it. There's so many people, male and female, that need to hear your story. And please let me know how I can keep supporting you and give me permission and consent to love and hold space for you as well. To the audience, we love you. Please go and check out Nick's story and Nicholas's book. Benny, I think you're going to send us out with a special song, I believe.
Go, Charlie. It's your birthday. We're going to party like it's your birthday.
Thank you so much. Like I appreciate that, guys.
You're welcome.